Blog Talk Radio.
And hey, let us ransom people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Lift your eyes to rise and shine.
Wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Oh yeah,
we're
bringing us power through unity. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Tribe on tribe will come alive.
Yeah, wake up, you sleeping giant.
Your heart.
Hi, Regina. Hi. Peace, shalom to you too.
And thank you for joining me this evening, because together, when we bring our hearts and minds together, we are all energy beings. So the energy that we put into whatever we're doing, the more unity we have, the more collective energy we have, the more likely it's going to be manifested. And this month of February is a powerful, powerful month to manifest whatever it is we desire that is in alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom, and peace. We so need peace on this earth today. What's going on in Canada to me is like a combination of karmic energy working, as well as transitional energy working, and a lot of cosmic energy at work. So if you're looking at what's going on in Canada right now, there's so many levels to overstand, understand what is happening in that very cold place. And some places are warming up, but when I look at the YouTube videos, remember, the revolution is not going to be televised, not on mainstream media. So you have to go to YouTube to get plenty of live videos on what's going on in Canada. And, you know, the truckers moved in like 3 weeks ago. I think it's been 3 weeks. Boy, time's flying. And now the people are moving in. There are so many people marching in the cold weather up there, marching down the streets in Canadian cities up there. And I want to just play, because it's so on my mind, I want to just play one quick 3 minutes, I think it's about 3.5 minutes, of just what the truckers up there are feeling and thinking, since this has been going on for a while and it's spreading all across the world, all across the planet. We're having the same thing happening in the United States this week with trucker convoys starting in the USA. So look for it. It's happening. But this trucker they interviewed today was just an example of the heart and mind of the people in Canada who are marching now. They're not letting the trucks take over. The people are taking over. And they're getting bruised and beat up and all that. But remember, it's happening on so many levels, cosmic level, metaphysical level, spiritual level, third dimension level, even fourth dimension. Some people, nothing's right or wrong. It's just time. It's a season for change and manifestation. So I want to just share one voice of what's going on up in Canada before we start bringing some peace to dating after you're 40. So many people don't have peace and joy about dating and looking for a mate or not looking for a mate, being alone. Let's bring some peace to that issue tonight together with your comments. Share your journey, and I'll share mine. We can all share our journey. And then at the end of it all, we're going to just share what is the most important element about dating after 40. You don't want to miss this, because the peace comes when your soul purpose is revealed. Your soul purpose is revealed in any issue. And that's what you might hear in this Canadian trucker's testimony. They take away your money. They take away your truck. They take away this, that, and that. Eh, we don't care. We have a plan. We have a purpose. I have an assignment. I'm sticking with it for the end. So listen to this just one testimony, which I think reflects the majority of the people who are in this war in Canada.
Canadian police are cracking down on the last of the trucker convoy demonstrators in Canada's capital to end the weeks-long protest. And our next guest is someone who's personally felt the effects of their crackdown. Joining me now from Ottawa is the founder of Adopt a Trucker, Chris Guerra. Chris, thank you for taking time. Very fluid situation with Canadian police cracking down on the protesters. But you've been there from day one. What have you been doing?
Well, we landed day one, and our idea was to make sure that when the truckers landed, their job was done, that we could take care of them. And we did that through asking everyone to adopt a trucker. And what that looks like is people from Ottawa have actually taken these truckers into their homes, allowed them to wash their clothes, shower, shuttle them around, make sure that they had everything to make sure they were comfortable, that the stay would be fun and rewarding. And it's been so peaceful, so amazing. people have loved these truckers right from day one.
Chris, are you aware of any of the truckers you've adopted or people that you've been associating with that have been arrested as a result of this?
Yes, some has. Chris Barber's been arrested and now has been put out on bail, and I guess he has to go home. That's part of the bail agreement. But, you know, there's a lot still trying to stay strong. They don't, you know, their mission was to come here and get rid of the mandates.
Chris, you sound a bit defeated after having been in this weeks long. What is your sentiment now, and how has this impacted you specifically?
Well, they froze my accounts. I'm okay with that. I knew this was going to be a long, long road. People have blessed me. They have taken care of my children. I have 7 children. They've gone to my home and fed them. And it's been a wonderful ride. There's been so much love and peace and joy that I feel that God is behind this, and my heart is doing very well.
Well, Chris, you haven't been getting love from Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who compared the trucker protesters to essentially Nazis, not once, but on multiple occasions. What is your reaction to the way the Prime Minister's handled things?
Well, I really feel sorry for him. I'm praying for him that he'll repent of what he's doing to all the Canadians. He's turned every Canadian into a criminal that have donated to this peaceful rally. And I just pray that his heart turns, because Canadians are so loving and kind. If you could be here to see the love and the joy, it's overwhelming, sir.
And Chris, just a final question. As this winds down, there's talk of a convoy, Freedom Convoy in the U.S. Is there a message from what happened there for the rest of the world to hear?
Yes, it's exciting that they do want to do a convoy. We respect the United States. We look at them as our cousins. Be peaceful, be kind, don't be forceful, because that's what they want, and be, I'll repeat it again because we went off the air, but be peaceful and kind and loving. This is all about freedom of speech, freedom of, you know, action. Yep. So be loving and kind if you're going to do this.
A good message. Chris Guerra in Ottawa, Canada. Chris, thank you.
So you realize from my viewpoint and my opinion, hearing that type of testimony is that we are all one. Those are our cousins, as he said, regardless of race or religion and all that, we're all one, and we all want to have the freedom to choose. And so when this United States convoy starts, and it's starting this week from what I understand, there'll be truckers who hopefully will stop delivering everything. I think that's the only way we're going to get to the elite and the government to get their attention, is if these truckers just stop delivering. I think they should even just stay home. Don't deliver anything until Biden and company stop their insanity. So watch, let's be prayerful. We send prayers not only to Canada, but for people all over the world who are fighting this freedom battle, whatever way that you think best in your own heart. Speaking up, as the civil rights attorney said that I played last week and on Friday, each one, reach one, and teach one. That's our message. We got to level this system, level the government, the medical system, the educational system, time to just turn all of it over. Each one, it starts with us, teaching truth from where our own experience, from my experience, I'm teaching truth. And that's why tonight, when we're talking about dating after 40, because we need strong partnerships. We need strong partnerships. But if you're not able to link up with a partner at this time in your life, we want you to have peace. So I've got a few people I want to share with you who give an expert advice on how to find love after 40, how to set your mind at peace if you can't find love. But we want to give you some guidance tonight on finding the right partner or not. And that partner could be you and your creator. I want to make that clear. We're not just going to promote you finding a human being tonight we want to suggest that maybe it's not time for you to find a man or a woman to be your partner in this journey, whether it's husband or not. We want you to have peace about whatever partnership you're in, whatever relationship you're in. But this is interesting because usually people who reach 40 and they're not married, it's one, there's a couple of reasons why they're not married. There's several reasons. One, they've been in a divorce. A lot of my friends and associates, they've been in a divorce, so they're single. One of their partners died, and they're single. Or they just choose not to be entangled or hook up with anyone at this time of their life. So, and for women, women are probably more anxious to be married at 40 if they want children. If you haven't had any children by 40 and you still want children, it could be a little desperate time for you, but there's still hope. It happens. But we want to bring some peace of mind, whatever state you're in at this point in your life, single, or if you're on the verge of a divorce. We want you to think about some things going forward. So this guy, I thought he was kind of funny, giving 6 tips to find love after 40. And I hope you find some humor in some of these opinions. I'll say their opinions. Not the final word on any of this because each one of us is different. But we want you to think about just what is going forward. How do you stay in a healthy relationship, not just with others, but with yourself? So think about that, especially as we proceed with the show today, is how do you find healthy relationships after you're 40? We're particularly focusing on people who are 40 or older because they have more challenges, I think. But what do you think? You know what I think. You find out what I think. What do you think? Is 40 a time when, after 40, when it's more challenging to have a relationship, to be married, or to find a man or a woman? Let's listen to a few tips from opinions from some people who have, some of these people have millions of views on YouTube. So I'm always looking for people who are getting the attention of millions of people just to hear what they have to say. So here's a guy, I don't remember his name, 6 tips on how to find love after 40.
Now, when you're dating in your 20s, the world is your oyster. Dating is really fun, there's no pressure, and all the guys that you meet seem to be pursuing you, and they're also just free of baggage. And then, once you hit your 40s, things start to change. When you're dating in your 40s, it doesn't feel like the world is your oyster anymore. It feels more like a rotten oyster that gives you food poisoning. Cheating. Every guy has cheated before in his life. Every guy seems to have a baby mama he's got to deal with. You got to deal with the damn mama drama. And all these guys seem to have low testosterone. And then there are other guys who are still finishing up their divorce. Or you find out, yes, he drives a Mercedes, but he's also bankrupt. Finding love in your 40s can be a little bit trickier, but once you understand how to navigate today's dating scene, I assure you, you can actually make it an incredible experience. Now look, I get it. The vast majority of my clients are over the age of 40, 40s, 50s, and 60s, and I should tell you that I understand it can be a little bit trickier, but once you understand the tips I'm going to go over in this video, I'm going to give you some insight as to how you can actually successfully find love and do it in your 40s and beyond. Keep watching. Hey there, Adam Ladolce from LoveStrategies.com, where I help successful single women get out there and attract long-lasting love and do it with a proven strategy. And if you enjoyed this video and you want more videos for those of you who are in your 40s, 50s, and 60s and beyond, please give this video a like. Don't forget to heart it if you're watching on Instagram or wherever it is you're watching. Most importantly, don't forget to subscribe because if enough people like this video, be happy to do a follow-up. So here are 6 tips that you can use to find love after 40. Tip number 1 is to avoid coming on too strong. Where are you from? Have you ever been married? I mean, how many times? I mean, why did it end? What happened? No, seriously, where are you from? Why are you still single? Look, I get it. You have been through a lot and you want to skip over the BS part of dating and just kind of get to the heart of it, which is, are they in or are they out? You feel like you've been through all that stuff and you want to just get to the point. But the core principles of dating still apply no matter what age, and that is that men don't remember the things that you're saying, they remember how you make them feel. And if guys feel like you are grilling them on those first few dates and really just skipping over the fun part of dating, which is just bantering and flirting, then they are very quickly going to lose interest and go in a different direction. That's why we've developed what we call the little love steps. And there are 7 little love steps that you can take to help you go from being single, confused, and frustrated in your love life to finding long-lasting love. And in little love step number 3, when you're actually getting out there, meeting quality guys, give you a lot of ways to keep your flirting game in place so that you can have that banter and that fun, playful conversation and just see if there's conversational chemistry between the two of you before getting into that more important stuff down the road. Tip number 2 is to not wall off your heart. As a psychotherapist and blogger Eileen Cohen says, when we lose the ability to be vulnerable and close ourselves off to love, we also lose our ability to experience the joy that comes from relationships. Long story short, you've probably been through a lot in relationships. Maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe you're even a widow. But the reality is that you need to get back on that horse and you do need to open up your heart, because I don't want you to have what I call black heart syndrome. You have what I call, and I work with a lot of women, it's called black heart syndrome, okay? It's you've been burned, but you're a lovely, amazing person, and all we need to do is get you to red heart syndrome, which is just being finally open to the potential possibility of finding love. You're going around and everyone you're talking to just knows that your heart isn't really actually available. And you've been so frustrated and let down, annoyed by men and their behavior, that you can't go into any new relationship with an open heart. So moving forward, I want you to really practice the ability to be a little bit more vulnerable, especially as a guy actually earns your trust. Tip number 3 is for you to get really clear about the man and the relationship you really want. Typically, when I work with clients who are over the age of 40, they tend to have a long list of the things that they don't want in a guy. Yet they haven't quite done enough work really trying to understand the type of man they really want. And that's why we have what we call little love step number 2, which is to create your love vision. It's where you get crystal clear about the man and the relationship you want, because if you don't have a bullseye, you will miss it every single time. And if you want to learn all the little love steps, just head on over to littlelovesteps.com. We'll also leave a link in the description right there below. And all that stuff is covered in that free training. Tip number 4 is don't limit too narrowly the type of man that you want. I know plenty of women who wanted to end up with that tall, suave CEO type who drives a Maserati, and then they ended up with a shorter, slightly balding guy who happens to have an IT job and lives in the suburbs. Did they settle? No, they didn't settle, so long as the relationship is fueling them in the way that they want. Here at Love Strategies, we believe that we want you to be attracted to the guy you end up with, but we don't focus all of our energy on the superficial things in life. And this is where dating apps really fail, is it sets you up to become incredibly superficial. So I ask you to widen your net just a little bit and really open up the possibilities to different types of guys, because at the end of the day, the only thing that I care about is that you are in a happy, healthy, committed relationship that lasts for the rest of your life. Tip number 5 is to always maximize your opportunities to meet men. From this day forward, I want you to be what we call a yes woman. Say yes to any event or party you can go to, assuming you can be safe in this particular environment. Make sure you are saying yes. If you're asked on a date and the guy tends to meet what it is you're looking for, be willing to go on that date. Be a yes woman and maximize your opportunities, because you might just end up being really surprised about the type of guy you end up being attracted to. And finally, tip number 6 is to just be open to different types of family setups and lifestyles. Now, let's say you have a 14-year-old son and you have sworn off wanting to raise any other children, and you say, I'm not going to talk to any men who have younger children than, let's say, 14. What are you really going to do when you meet a really incredible guy who has a 5-year-old daughter? You're probably going to be open to it, all right? Because what's most important is the relationship between you and him. Now, it's not to say that you shouldn't have some deal breakers. I certainly support that, and I think that that's important. But be sure to not narrow that scope too much and be open-minded, because once you get to your 40s, 50s, and 60s, everyone has very different types of lifestyles, and in order to really build a relationship that lasts, you are ultimately going to have to adopt each other's lifestyles and mend them and combine them. So I want to hear from you in the comments below. Which of these tips do you really need to focus on?
Okay, as I said, I should make a disclaimer that the opinion of these people is not one I necessarily agree with, because there was a, being a yes woman, I don't know about that one. But just some to get us started in thinking about, are there any things we can change? Now, I want to bring out the idea that there are empaths and there are vampires. So when we can recognize whether you're an empath and not, very giving and caring, and you know, sometimes as Dr. Northrup has said, and she's gonna, we're gonna hear from her, empaths, especially Pisces, can have a darker element in that they want to be martyrs and saviors. They want to save everybody. They want to be martyrs. So you meet someone and you think, oh, I can save them, or they need your help. Oh, I want to help them. And then you wear yourself out and your adrenal glands get shot and all that. So when somebody says, just be a yes woman, oh my goodness, that's kind of like going against the idea that we don't want to overstress ourselves in any relationship. And we certainly don't want to be saying yes if we don't feel that it's what we really want to do. So that's just one aspect of what this guy is saying, his opinion. Although now I do agree with his idea that men remember how they feel. Now that, and that's interesting, because most men don't talk about their feelings. Think about that. Men, when you meet a man and you have a date with him, he's not going to remember so much the words that come out of your mouth, but how those words make him feel. So in one of these conversations that we're going to listen to, they bring out the idea that as you're speaking, that man is thinking, or even the woman, I think it would go both ways, but in his case, he was saying, men remember how they felt when they met you and how they experienced you. Why? Because we're energy beings. We're giving out all this energy, and that's why we're going to talk about energy vampires, because if you're meeting someone who's draining you, that's one of the things you should be aware of, and you might have to just be ready to spend some time alone. So just keep in mind as we go along, the power of being alone. I heard Ralph Smart today give a teaching about being alone, that it's not a curse and it's not a negative thing to just be alone. Because if you're really sensitive about trying to make this man feel good when you meet him, because he's going to remember how he felt, and yet you start seeing red flags that there's a vampire possibly in this character and this mental state that they're in, then you're going to have to back off a little bit and spend some time alone. Especially if you're an empath, you have a lot of sympathy for people, you're sensitive, and you have some people that take advantage of your empathic ways. So here's some tips before we go to the break on the power of being alone as we go through the idea of matching up with someone, and yet it might not work out, but don't look at it as a negative. If you see those red flags and things aren't working the way you think they should, then here's some tips about the power of being alone. Number one, you get to know who you really are. It's kind of a rites of passage to reconnection and recharging, especially if you've been in a divorce. If you've been in a divorce and you just broke up in a long-term relationship, then being alone, there's power in that to reconnect with yourself, and a rite of passage going to the next level of consciousness. Being alone after a rough relationship or after a divorce or anything, being alone, next level of consciousness has come. It's me time. You're going to be with your emotions, which is, some people leave their TV on all night, all day, because they don't want to be with me. They don't want to feel their emotions. And emotions are not good or bad. They just are. And we want to feel those emotions. We want to feel the anger, the bitterness, the resentment. We want to feel them and process them. And this is our spiritual path to health. This is our path to health. And we can feel our emotions, deal with them, talk about them, listen to them, and then have peace and quiet in your life for a change. Meet your own reflection. Meet your own reflection alone. When you're sitting talking to a date or someone, you're not really, maybe not reflecting yourself in the beginning, but as you go along and you have to spend time alone, hey, it's time for peace and quiet, time to get to know yourself, time to get some reconnection to consciousness, and just choosing to get to know yourself, you begin to know what you truly need in life. And the benefits are greater than the negatives. Being alone, power being, the benefits of being alone are much, much greater than being with someone who's either a vampire, narcissistic, angry all the time, or just needy, needy, needy. So we're just going to throw that in case you don't find the right one right away. Just enjoy being by yourself. Okay, so we're going to take a break now. Naima Latif is in the studio. She's going to take us to a break, and we'll come right back and listen to some more expert opinions, not mine, but on how men choose based on four feelings. Men choose women based on four feelings, and then we do have some female perspectives too. But let's go to a break, and then we'll be back shortly.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Thank you for joining me this evening, 2:20
2022. Woo, woo, woo. Do you feel the energy of those numbers? Soul Purpose Healing is all about bringing us back into alignment with the wisdom of the Creator, which is the cosmos, and the animals and nature. The Creator is everywhere. In us, the kingdom within us is the Creator. So when I say it's 2-20-2022, that's the language of our Creator. Those numbers are very powerful. That's a 10, it comes to a 10 or a 1. So that means that the universe is speaking to us about becoming one with our Creator, with the cosmos, with nature, with peace. I have two ladies who commented. Regina says, peace, 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 beloved. That's the energy of 2-20-2022. One, let's be in unity, let's be in peace. And then Susie Mayberry says, peace and independence. Love it. Yes, that's what this is all about, peace and independence. It would be nice to talk to, let's see, I can't read the rest. She says it would be nice to talk to a brother as a friend. I used to have male friends in high school. And that is exactly, thank you, Susie, that is exactly why it's challenging for some of us over 40 to date. Because many women, and thank you for sharing that, Susie, many women want to have friendship first. And that's what we're talking about. What do you need? What is your need? Some women are looking for a daddy, a sugar daddy. Okay. Well, the brother who just spoke on the YouTube said, just be knowing that men remember how they feel when they meet you, when you have a date, when you're at dinner. They're going to remember how they feel. So if you're talking about all the things in your life that you need and that are happening to you and you don't connect with him to make him feel good about himself and make him and uplift him and build him up, then it may not work too well. Because remember, they're going to remember how they feel when they're talking to you. And that guy was saying, well, you should be a yes woman if you want to experience different men and how conversation. I'm like, I don't know about all that. I think you should listen to your gut about every situation and go from that aspect. So we've got a caller. I've got another voice I want you to hear on men choose based on four feelings that they have. And that's what we're going to go to after this call. We'll take a caller, 773-221. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Thank you, Andrew Nelson Bay. It's been said that there's nothing more dangerous than a Welshman with nothing to lose. That refers to King Henry VII of England, father of King Henry VIII. You know, his mother was like 12 or 13 years old when she gave birth to him in Pembrokeshire, mm-hmm. Wales.
Mm-hmm.
He beat, Richard III. To make a long story short, speaking anecdotally, the love of my life, Sonia Denise Parks, 15 days ago, ascended into the ancestral realm.
Oh.
I don't speak of her as being, but speaking anecdotally, she has a daughter, Alexis, who is now 28. And my interest in Sonia has everything to do with her daughter, who I'm no longer interested in because I met someone last night who's 27, who I think is marriage material for me. To make a long story short, I am a king, and, I see myself, I aspire to become vice president of the United States with Mr. Trump in 2024. If you want to know the heart and mind of a man, ask not about his past accomplishments, but rather ask what he aspires to do. I'm a Republican candidate for Cook County Board President, and I'm doing that so that my president, Donald J. Trump, will notice that someone is now running for president of the United States in 2024 as a Republican from Chicago, namely Andrew Nelson Bay. And I'm such a catch. I'm 60 years old. Imam Worthy Muhammad, son of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he was 70, married a 20-year-old.
Mr. Nelson, tell me why you think this woman, 27-year-old woman, is marriage material for you.
I went to a birthday party last night for George Blakewell. He is instrumental in renaming the L-stop at State and Van Buren, the Harold Washington Library stop, among many other things. There's going to be an event at Chicago City Hall on this Wednesday morning, which I intend to attend. To make a long story short, that's where I met this young lady last night. And when I walked into the room, I presumed that she was married, and she was giving me a headache because I was thinking, my God, this woman is really quite a catch. But I knew that I couldn't possibly have any chance with her because a woman like that is married and has hundreds of suitors. And I found out that she's single. And I found out that she has interests similar to mine. And Naza Lone Wolf was Minister Farrakhan's granddaughter. Hello?
Did you have a conversation with this woman? Did you have a conversation with this woman to determine
yes,
that she's married?
We spoke for about 15 or 20 minutes last night. Now, recently, I expressed to Mama AZ an interest in Mr. Farrakhan's granddaughter, Queen Naza Lone Wolf, as possible marriage material. And I even sent him a letter yesterday morning before I even went to the event yesterday afternoon, which I didn't even know I was going to be attending. My executive assistant, Ziv Sistrunk, told me about that event, and I'm so happy that I attended. To make a long story short, you know, things are falling in place for me. I've been faithful.
Okay, great.
Pardon?
Well, thank you. I hope that you're you reach the place of peace and assurance that this is the right woman for you. And so thank you for sharing that. Mr. Andrew Nelson is ready and willing to take on a new partner. So it's going to take some conversation, maybe some dates. So he doesn't seem challenged at all. He's ready, willing, and he's open. So there you go. There are some men like that all over. The conversation has to start somewhere. But here's another aspect of what men feel. And then we're going to go into women. I want to play this one about men choose based on four feelings. I thought this was kind of interesting for women to think about.
All right. The advice I'm about to give you, I've polled 2,000 men a number of years ago to see what they needed in women. And this is what we came up with. Now, before we hop into this one, you think you know what it is. I grilled these guys. I did not settle for a woman that's nice, a woman that gave me a sandwich, a woman that gave me a blowjob. No, I'm talking about the real core of what a man needs and what's going to keep him forever. I'm Mike Goldstein of Easy Dating Coach. The advice I'm about to give you is candidly, I think, my very best advice that I have. So if you watch no other video, stick around for this one. This stuff works. All right. So this stuff is not new content. If you've seen this, this is my NAB acronym, but you should watch it. I'm going to explain it differently. I'm more advanced. But this is something you should listen to probably 700 times because this is the one that gets you the guy.
Okay.
All right, so NAB acronym. We got to NAB a guy. These are the four feelings. NAB. First one, a man needs to feel needed.
Feeling needed.
A lot of my clients work like this. Single mom, wildly successful, great career, taking care of children, you know, taking care of business at work, lots of promotions, doing everything, taking care of the household, taking care of the children, making the money. You know, wearing that masculine hat, wearing that feminine hat, being daddy and mommy when their child's there, you're doing everything. What happens with a lot of you is a great guy hops in, and you may attract him initially. You may get a few months out of him, or you may get a few years out of him, and then eventually you break up. And you're like, I'm the full package. What happened? I must have scared him away because I'm too successful. Yes, and it's because he doesn't feel needed. If you're taking the masculine role and the feminine role? Where's his spot? So we need to make him feel needed. Now, this is going to be tough for some of you, because for the last, some of you 10 years, some of you 30, 40 years, you've been getting promotions at work by being masculine. And that's just the reality. We haven't figured out, or as men, unfortunately, we haven't figured out that women can be feminine and also be wildly successful in corporations. So we almost force women to be masculine, and then they get their promotions, and then they start getting reinforced to be masculine. Not the best self-fulfilling prophecy. I went on a tangent. I'm sorry. But bottom line is, a man needs to feel needed, and you want to hop back into your feminine. So imagine this. You are a queen, and you're independent, and you got this. But imagine if finally you could feel supported by a man. And it would be great for you, and it would be great for him. Let me just give you a simple example. You're sitting in your house. You're an independent woman, so you're like, I can do anything, and you need a glass of water, and you go up and you go get a glass of water. What if instead you made him feel needed, and you go, honey, it would be great if you got me a glass of water. And he gets the glass of water, and you go, wow, you're such a gentleman. You know how to take care of me. He felt needed. And then that brought us to the second emotion. Appreciated. You made him needed. You made him appreciated. Now, this was a very simple example, but we can go really big on this stuff. Like, imagine if maybe you've got a child, and eventually you get to the point where he becomes, you know, a second father, or in some cases, almost the primary father. It's like, man, you go to him, I would not have been able to raise this child without your help. Think how needed he feels. Think how big of a compliment that is to him. And I know every woman out here can raise a child by themselves. You've been doing it. But wouldn't it be nice if, like, someone took care of you for once? Like, instead of you carting your child to every sports activity, to school, to everything, like, imagine a guy finally picks you up, opens the door for you, pays for dinner. Let's allow that to happen. And so even asking for it, like, hey, it'd be so great if you do X. Hey, it'd be so great if you took me to dinner. So that's how we make them feel needed, then appreciated. All right, if you have any questions about that or need more detail, just go in the comments and let me know. And I respond to almost every comment. Needed, appreciated. Third emotion is acceptance. Now, this is so important. And imagine this. Imagine you get to be exactly who you are, and the other person goes, man, I love this person exactly as who they are. They need to feel that. And if the man feels that he's fully accepted, warts and all, he's going to come towards you like no man has ever come towards you. Because in the past, when we didn't know any better, what did we try to do to our partners? A lot of us, and I know I did, and let me use my lens for once, or for this instance. I know, you know how I chose women until my mid-20s? With these things. I'd go, ooh, she's pretty. And then in high school, what I'd do is if I didn't like a characteristic about them, I'd ask them to change it. And we all know that stuff doesn't work. No one's changing. So what I needed to do was find a different partner that kind of fit me more, but that's neither here nor there. Find a person you can fully accept. If you can't fully accept them, get rid of them. But once you find that person you can accept, tell him, I love all of you. All of you works great for me. And when he does something that maybe he's a little insecure about, you give him that reassurance. Just like you want from him that he gives you reassurance, you're beautiful, you're doing great, you're great with your kids, you're the best mom ever, you're kicking butt at work. Man, they're so lucky to have you. Give him that reassurance. All right, the last feeling is the feeling he gets when boundaries happen. And everyone, you know, you hear boundaries and you go, conflict? That doesn't sound good. I want to just be nice. No. You know why men love boundaries? It's a roadmap to your happiness. He wants to make you happy. He wants to see you smile. And he has no idea how to do it most of the time. And the one time he does finally figure it out, he's going to keep repeating that. And what you're going to realize is he's going to repeat it, and you're going to get bored. For example, if he realizes, hey, I take her out to dinner every Friday night, and she seems to like that. We go dinner, we go home, we have sex. It's been a good formula. It's been working. And after a number of months, all of a sudden you go, man, I don't want to go to dinner and have sex with my every Friday. Like, I'm bored. Can we do something different? Well, he got used to the formula. So all you got to do is say, hey, you'd make me so happy if we went rock climbing sometime. And now you go rock climbing. So that's your boundary. And other boundaries could be, you know, I don't like when you do X. Or you'd make me, you know, you can't do that. You'd make me so happy if you didn't do that. So stating these things gives him the roadmap on what you need. And he needs that guidance. Just like he needs to communicate. That's open lines of communication, right? So he wants to feel that. So that goes really coincides with acceptance. Because by telling people how you want things, then they can fully accept who you are fully. Does that make sense? All right, so to sum those up, we're going to nab a guy. Let's nab him. Nab. Needed, appreciated, accepted boundaries. Whew! If you guys want coaching from me, I'll put a link to sign up for that down.
So do you agree with the NAB philosophy? I think that's some sound advice. It sounds reasonable that we pay attention to the men in our life more, that they feel needed, appreciated, that there's some acceptance and boundaries. It's almost like the L-O-V-E, listening, overstanding, validating, and engaging. To me, that's another way to say give some love. Feel, help them feel needed. That means listen. And appreciated, that means overstand them, that I appreciate exactly what you're saying. Sounds good. Acceptance. Love is L-O-V-E, validating, and then engaging. Because the boundaries, as he was saying, boundaries, to me, that's about conversation and engaging in words that say, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is what I want to do. This. That's all about the L-O-V-E formula, in my opinion. So what do you think? Does NAB sound pretty reasonable? And is dating after 40 the challenge to NAB? Is that something people can do? Well, we've got a caller who's pressed one. Let's see what they have to say. 773-366, your mic is open. Welcome. What's your opinion?
Good evening. This is Naima Latif. How are you?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Well, I had a question, and I'd love to hear some men's responses because, and I agree, you know, the needing to be appreciated and certainly I believe that it's important for you to have those boundaries where you indicate what you want and don't want. But the needed part, because I've known a lot of men that get involved with relationships with women, you know, trying to help them out with the children and money, and then next thing you know, they're feeling overwhelmed and exploited because it's, oh, now she needs me to pay her rent, oh, now she needs me to pay her car note, now she needs me to, you know, buy Pampers for the children, and now she needs me to do this, you need me to take her here and there. And at first it was, they loved feeling needed, and then afterwards they began to feel resentment. So at what point is a person being too needy? And
yeah.
And I've talked to men who have been angry because they felt like, I always get these women who take advantage of me. And I asked them, well, what is drawing you to these needy women that you end up in these relationships where you feel like you've been used And maybe after she's used you up, then she goes on to somebody else, and you didn't see it coming. So can a person perhaps overdo the feeling needed part?
That is such a good question, Naima, and I would be interested to see if there are any men in the studio or in the Facebook Live who have a comment about that. That's a great question, because I would think that if that man has a connection to source, spirit, and is in line with his purpose on this planet, that there won't be any resentment or anger or neediness, too over needy. If that's where we're going with this tonight, is are you in line with your purpose on this planet? Whatever you're doing for another person, why are you doing it? Is it just because you want to feel needed, or is it because you feel that's your purpose on this planet? You know, we could go to deep, different levels of dimensions in terms of, is it right or wrong, or is it just the way you are here, your assignment on this planet? I think it has a lot to do with consciousness. That's what I'm trying to say. Consciousness about why are you here, what's your purpose, and do you have the resources to keep helping someone or not? You know, why would a man keep trying to help someone if they don't have the resources, for one? And what is your motive for doing that? But are there any men who want to speak to that? Feel free to press one. Otherwise, we'll wait and we'll go on to another standard. There's a woman here I want to play. She says that women have unrealistic standards. So let's listen to that while we wait for, see if there's any men in the studio.
Yeah, and I do see a hand up here on our studio. Someone wants to answer.
Okay, you need to go ahead and
see the caller first, or are you going to play the video first?
You want to open up their mic?
Yeah, I'll open the mic. Area code 863. 816, your mic is open. Go right ahead.
Do I have to open up your other phone?
Oh, you know what? Give me my mic.
Let me open up your other line.
Okay, I can. You can play the audio and I'll wait. You know, comment on the other side of that.
Well, it's a longer audio. So you go ahead, because we only have 3 minutes and this audio is longer. So go ahead. Is this L.A.?
Well, yeah, L.A., Central Florida. Two quick points. A friend of mine was in a relationship for like 17 years, helped his ex, well, now ex, buy a house, and at 17 years, he probably put in about $80,000 into the relationship, about $70,000 into the relationship, because he did help buy the house, or get into the house. She had two boys, helped with that. And then when she retired, that was the end of that. And
really?
He's in his 60s.
Okay.
Now, he's in relatively good health, so you've got a lot of situations like that. And then, you know, what happens, because, you know, 40-plus, you know, depends on how you treat yourself or what has happened to you in life. You know, you got a lot of people on medication, high blood pressure, some are on walkers, some are in wheelchairs, some have heart, well, all kinds of physical problems or whatever. So, and I think I shared this with you, and I'll land my plane on this. A friend of mine dated a guy, and everything was good until he had a stroke. And she said, well, I'm not a nurse. Now, that was a brutally honest answer, so she ended that relationship. But about 3 or 4 years later, she had a stroke. And I guess what goes around comes around, because she wasn't getting that much help, and that's including from even blood relatives. So I think those are some of the things that 40-plus might want to factor in on how to take better care of themselves and how to stack up financial resources, because it, from my observation, it's not true with every person or couple, But it seems like bad health is a deal breaker. Now I'll land my plane there.
So LA, as Naima was asking about men who are giving a lot of their resources or time or energy to a relationship, to a woman, do you think it should come to a point where they should stop that, or what's the basic motivation for men? Should they keep feeling needed? Should that be the primary motivation? How does that work?
No, that depends. That's kind of a subjective answer based on how those individual relationships go.
Right.
I mean, essentially, people get into relationships, and this is my opinion with everybody on the planet, because I go by Maslow's hierarchy of needs. In a relationship, each person is getting something out of that relationship of value to them on a very subjective level. If they don't get that value, they're not going to be there. Man and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, or just plain drinking buddies. They're getting something of value from that other person once the relationship ends.
Well, that's a sad truth or reality. I don't say sad. It's a reality.
That's the reality of it.
Yeah. Because truth is subjective. Every truth that someone speaks, it's all based on their own experience. And so we can't really say, well, truth is objective. Well, it's based on your experience so far on your journey. That's your truth. And I think if a man is giving whatever he's giving in a relationship, that, as you said, it's because there's a need, he can give, whatever the reasons, it's based on subjective relationship. So I agree.
Yeah, I mean, what if the man's been giving all these years, and it could be the woman too, because it goes both ways. So whatever partner's given all these years, and then all of a sudden, one of them gets sick. And I mean, for instance, do you have enough time and energy? Because taking care of somebody requires a lot of energy. I'm not even going to get into the money part.
Right.
It requires a lot of energy. So is a person mentally, spiritually, and psychologically and physically able to help take care of another person? I know of some high school friends of mine, when their parent, their dad got sick, and the mother, who was a younger woman, not that much younger, but younger woman, she was taking care of the dad, you know, following the marriage vows to death to us part. But then she got sick and died. So, you know, what are you going to do? And then the kids had to put some money together to put the kid, put the dad in a nursing home, and that's about $5 to $6 grand a month right there.
Well, thank you, L.A., for pointing that out. And we've got to go to a commercial, but when we come back, I think I'm going to let Dr. Christian Northrup introduce the energy vampire red flag that we all should be looking for, because it causes, as L.A. said, it causes health problems. If you're not aware of a relationship energy factor where someone in the relationship might be draining you, it can affect you in all kinds of ways. And this is what Dr. Northrup points out in our next audio. But Naima's going to – thank you, L.A. Naima's going to take us to the next commercials, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of trial and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Sofa Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Back. Thank you for joining me this evening. We're talking about dating after 40. Is it a challenge for those of us who are looking for love in all the right places? Well, my next guest is Dr. Christian Northup. I love this woman. She's a physician and author, and she explains why we should be very aware and conscious of energy vampires in our life, because as L.A. pointed out, this can affect our health in ways that we may not even be aware of. But she's a physician, and she has seen many, many patients who have experienced health problems because they had in a relationship where one of the persons was draining them of their life force, basically. So let's listen to an expert, Dr. Northup, on energy vampires and why we need to be aware when we're looking for a new partner or in a relationship, if a person is not compatible or not bringing a healthy energy to the relationship, how it can affect our health, which, as LA say, can break up the relationship, especially, and even kill people maybe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Christiane Northrup, an OBGYN physician and authority on everything that can go right with your body. And I'm here to tell you how to transform your health and truly flourish while making your life easy. Are you in relationship with an energy vampire? Fully 25% of all people, male and female, have vampire characteristics. This is also known as narcissism or full-blown cluster B. That's the psychiatric term in the DSM-5, the Manual for Psychiatric Disorders. That's 20% of people, one in five. Energy vampires can be a parent, a colleague, or even someone you consider to be a friend. But unless you have been threatened by an energy vampire, you may not even realize you're dealing with one of them, because they can be so very charming when they are love-bombing you and they want something. That is, until they start criticizing, punishing, shaming, or rejecting you. In this video, I'm going to share how you can protect yourself against the energy vampires in your life, or at least recognize them. So, what is an energy vampire? Energy vampires are people who feed off of the life force of others. They do this by targeting empaths or highly sensitive people. I like to say, you haven't been chosen. You've been targeted. But they're often so charismatic. Oh, he's paying attention to me. He likes me. You know, and I was not the popular kid in eighth grade. And now this person sees that you will be providing them energy, and they just tell you how wonderful you are. They play right into the wounds of the empath and tell you what you've always been longing to hear. Oh, where have you been all my life? You are such a good doctor. Thank God I found you. You're the only one who can help me. And that little part of you goes, oh, I can help. Anyway, energy vampires are often what empaths consider fixer-uppers, but they're really cluster B personality disordered individuals. And that includes sociopaths, antisocial people. Psychopaths, that's 1 in 25 people, is a real psychopath. Okay, those are people with no conscience. When we hear the term psychopath, we think psychopathic killer. Most are not. They're operating under the radar, and they're running major corporations. Then there are the everyday narcissists, narcissistic personality disorder, and then borderline personality disorder, histrionic personality disorder. And the types of behaviors that these energy vampires engage in are overly dramatic or antisocial, binge drinking sometimes, compellingly charming, they threaten self-injury or suicide, or they love bomb you. They do not have a biochemical problem. They have a character disorder. Their moral compass doesn't exist, and that's what you need to know. And they often know exactly what they're doing. So, how relationships with energy vampires make you sick. In my decades on the front lines of women's health, I've seen so many people suffering from adrenal fatigue, chronic Lyme disease, irritable bowel syndrome, thyroid disorders, inability to lose weight, diabetes, breast cancer, autoimmune disorders, and so-called mystery illnesses, and most, if not all the time. These illnesses do not respond well to standard medical treatments. Why? Because the root cause is a relationship with an energy vampire, either at work or at home. No medication, diet, or amount of meditation or yoga or acupuncture will help until you resolve the energy drains caused by the relationship. So, there are several ways that the stress of being in an energy vampire relationship causes your health to deteriorate. One, that kind of stress causes cellular inflammation, the root cause of all chronic degenerative disease. The stress of trying to fix someone and having to deal with constant disappointment, negativity, deception leads to a cascade of stress hormones in your body. When constantly under stress, your adrenals produce cortisol. And when cortisol levels remain high, your body actually produces inflammatory chemicals called cytokines. You ever seen anyone on prednisone? You know how they gain weight no matter what they eat? Their skin gets thin. They bruise easily. They're more susceptible to every kind of illness. It's like when you're in relationship with an energy vampire, you're on this prednisone all the time. Symptoms that this can cause are headaches, joint pain and swelling, arthritis, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, digestive problems, weight gain, eventual diabetes and heart disease. Remember what I said. Chronic cellular inflammation is the root cause of almost all degenerative diseases. Being in relationship with an energy vampire wreaks havoc on your immune system. People under constant social stress experience what's called dysregulation of their immune systems. They're vulnerable to infectious disease and so-called autoimmune disorders. This encourages poor dietary choices. Oh my God, I need a drink. I need a donut. Because when you're constantly under stress and not feeling well, you don't feel up to cooking a healthy meal. And the excess cortisol causes you to crave sweets, reach for, like I said, the alcohol or the sugar, leading to weight gain, the inability to get a good night's sleep, eventual brain changes. Brain scans show that people who've lived with an energy vampire have cognitive dissonance, and it gives you brain changes similar to those who have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Cognitive dissonance is this. It's when your closely held beliefs about something clash with your actual experience. So here's an example. All people are good at heart, but you're living with someone who keeps treating you like crap, and you keep making excuses for their crummy behavior. Oh, it's because of a difficult childhood. It isn't, by the way. So what happens is cognitive dissonance triggers neuroendocrine hormone cascading problems. Researchers have found that PTSD and trauma are associated with a higher risk of developing lupus. One study suggests that stress-related neuroendocrine hormones lead to immune system dysregulation by altering or amplifying cytokine production. That's the science. You don't need to know the science. You just need to know how to get out of there. So here are the warning signs that you're in an energy vampire relationship. Some of the ways you can tell are they show no interest in the things that interest you. They stop communicating. After love bombing you and showering you with attention, they will often act distant. They give ultimatums. They blame you. They're professional victims. No matter what's happening, someone else is doing it to them. Energy vampires refuse to take responsibility. They withhold or demand sex. Energy vampires often use sex as a weapon. They keep score. It's a ledger relationship. I did this for you, you owe me. Energy vampires keep track. Now, they believe that their good deeds are greater than what they receive from you. They often threaten to leave. They put you down. They do another thing called triangulation. They talk about you behind your back. They don't come to you directly. And then they poison other people, maybe even your family members, against you. They have what Melanie Tonya Evans calls flying monkeys that they send out to protect themselves and put you down. So how do you deal with this? Here are some of the ways to protect yourself from energy vampires. The first one is realize they exist. They don't have your best interests at heart. They are not good at heart. Keep that in mind. Now, as I'm talking, I'll bet you got some names coming up in your head. That's your gut instinct. That's telling you the truth about someone. And then, because if you're an empath and you believe the world is good, you just don't want to believe it. Believe it. You need to find a reality check friend, somebody who says, look, I knew that when I met them. You've got to have someone who tells you, like if your friends don't like this person, you got to think about it. Now, you need to put yourself and your own needs first, which will make you feel guilty at first. But let's do the Pledge Allegiance to yourself. Ready? Do this with me. I pledge allegiance to myself and to my soul for which I stand. I honor my goodness, my gifts, and my talents. I commit to remaining loyal to myself from this moment forward for all of my days. Now, pat yourself on the back regularly. God, you did a good job today. Learn how to say no. If it's too difficult, which it will be if you're a good empath, start by saying, I'll get back to you. When someone asks you to do something, the first thing you're going to want to do to please them is say, oh yeah, I can do it. I can help you move on Saturday, even though you'd planned a movie or a spa date. No, you say, I'll get back to you. Stop the knee-jerk yes and get support. Here's the support you need. A psychotherapist who specializes in narcissistic abuse recovery. This is relatively new. 25 years ago, when my colleague George Simon started to teach this to therapists, many walked out of the room. They didn't want to believe that this existed. There are narcissistic abuse recovery groups. There are so many YouTube videos. If you go to a couples therapist, you need to go to someone who knows how to deal with a character disordered individual, because many narcissists have had a lot of couch time, and they can talk almost any therapist out of seeing that they are the problem. They have a lot of couch time. So you must go to someone who understands personality disorder. Okay, so For more inspiration and tips, visit my blog and explore drnorthrup.com, where you will find wisdom for your body, mind, and spirit. Visit daily to discover the connection between your thoughts, your beliefs, your physical health, and your life circumstances. And remember, even if you're in relationship with an energy vampire, there's so much you can do. You are in the driver's seat of your health, and you can make profound changes.
Woo, that woman doesn't hold back anything. So let's take a caller because she's so powerful. And I know if there's some of you out there feeling guilty or convicted or whatever, just take a deep breath. Because as she said, this is not easy, but it's going to help you in the long run and your health in the long run when you realize these people, if they're in your life, that you may have to say adios if you want to save yourself. And do that pledge of allegiance to myself, which honors yourself. And it's a fly allegiance. First, love yourself. We're going to get take a caller before we go to the next audio, but Naima says we have a caller in the Female Solutions studio, so we'll take that caller. And then any of you,
yes,
if you have questions,
mic is open. Red
rising. This is Maika. It's not morning. What am I thinking?
The morning's over.
Yeah, we get confused. It's been a busy day. I know what you mean.
For a minute.
Yeah, welcome.
I just wanted to chime in for the moment. Thank you. You know, I hear what Dr. Northrop said. I really love that woman, too. She's given so much to help women to be strong and proficient and loving and kind.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
She really puts a lot into that.
Yes, absolutely.
I wonder if she's married.
No, her husband passed. I think her husband passed away, so I think she's single right now. But she was talking about how being with her harp. An interviewer asked her what makes her happy, what gives her peace. She plays an amazing harp, and she says that's what gives her peace. That she's married to her harp.
Oh, she plays a harp.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So many people are married to their pets nowadays too. That's what they call them, their children. I told somebody just the other day, a pet is not a child. You know, don't get it confused now. But, yeah, that's a problem. She listed a whole range of problems that people have, and they really do have a problem, and you run into them. And most times you can't determine who they are because usually you don't spend a lot of time around them. And then if you don't know yourself, you don't know how to know nobody else. You don't know how to question them. And then most people, they hide from questions. They don't want to answer questions. They get suspicious. Who are you, the FBI, the CIA, or what have you? You just want to better, you know, get to know them. But the most important thing I find is a problem out here. I find it's a problem for people 40 and under also. They have a real problem finding mates and husbands under 40 years old and over 40. The biggest problem is people don't want to heal themselves. They don't want, they've been around, they've been in situations, whether it's they've been abused in childhood or in relationships or whatever, but all they want to do is talk about it and the problems they have as a result of it, but they will not focus on healing those traumas that they've experienced so that they can be a balanced person in a relationship. So that's the biggest problem I find, the unwillingness to perfect or to heal oneself so that one can be at their maximum capacity of love, to be able to open your heart to another person. Because this black heart syndrome is right. It's true. I've run into that so much with clients.
You know, Maika, in my experience, that's the energy vampire, the narcissist. They don't want to heal because they can't heal. They are stuck in this mind of victim. And I had a stepmother who was like this. And I knew this woman for 40 years of my life. My dad was married to her for 40 years. And she didn't think there was anything wrong with her. That's why they don't want to, they can't heal, they won't heal, because they don't believe there's anything wrong with them. Their ego is so huge, and their position as a vampire, energy vampire, is I'm going to suck all the blood out of everyone who I can, and that's going to help me survive, you know, like a real vampire. That's why she calls it that. So I know what you're talking about. There are so many people who just don't want to heal. That's why she's warning us to get away from them, because they will harm you, the empath, more than they'll harm themselves, because they're too strong. They're so strong in their position that I don't have anything wrong with me. I'm a victim and you're to blame. And just all the things she listened. I've known several people in my life who she described, and she's absolutely right. That's why you have to save yourself. When you recognize these people in your life, you need to get away from them and say, do the Pledge of Allegiance to yourself. I'm worthy. I'm valuable. I shouldn't take this abuse. I don't have to take, and I don't have to be a savior. She says Pisces energy, especially, they want to be martyrs and save people. And I'm a Pisces. I know exactly what she's saying. Her quote was that Pisces are want to be martyrs and saviors. And I thought, oh dear, that's me. And I've gotten in a lot of trouble trying to save people and be a martyr. And I've grown into the position, Pledge of Allegiance, me, take care of me, fly first, love yourself, and let these energy vampires move on out of your life, because to me, they weren't meant to be there, only to teach you. And she brings that up too in one of her videos. The energy vampires are great teachers. They are meant to teach us, as Maika pointed out, that they don't want to change. They don't want to heal themselves. So it's up to you, the empath, to change and move away from being a martyr and trying to save everybody. So thank goodness for these people in our lives. And people like her are helping us recognize and get away from that bad energy, not bad energy, but unhealthy energy.
Well, there's another aspect also that I'm finding true, that as you heal yourself, you attract different qualities in people.
That's right.
You attract a different caliber of person.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important. So at one point you're attracting narcissists or energy vampires.
Yes.
At another level, as you continue to heal, you attract good-hearted people who are able to open their hearts and be servants, because that's the highest level of work, serving. So I look forward to meeting people like that as I continue to work on me. Thank you so much for the show.
And that speaks of the law of attraction, Maika, because you're so right. When you heal yourself, become not this needy, needy person, I got to help them, I got to be a martyr, I can save them, then you're going to attract people who are going to be more aligned with your value. And appreciate you for in every way, and love you unconditionally, not try and change you or make you feel ashamed. That's where law of attraction comes in. Change yourself, get healthy, and you're going to attract the most powerful relationship that you need. That's why I talk about the power of being alone. If you realize you have some areas that you need to heal, then get out over there and meditate and be alone for a while, and then you're going to attract exactly what will complement who you are and help you to grow and thrive and have a wonderful healing relationship. And not only that, these days when in this war that we're in, we need partnerships that are going to work together for the good of all mankind and keep each other healthy and support one another as we do that. And that's, to me, the main reason for having a partner, a soul partner, is that you work together in this period of twilight zone and war, so that the two of you can create either an overground railroad, be on the overground railroad. Speaking of which, I see. Thank you, Maika. I'm going to go to, I think, Kwame Sunhorse. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Sister Viata, and good evening to Sister Maika. You know, relationships. And I just finished chairing a study group, and we're dealing with ACOA and codependencies and Al-Anon. And these are all parts of family dysfunctions and families that have raised children into being either, you know, the ones that their characteristics in which that happens when they do that. You have folks that are enablers, the family hero, the scapegoat, the lost child, the clown. Then you have the placators. And then these codependent behaviors happen with children that grow up in these dysfunctional environments. And in that part of them, seeing how relationships in that part is, it's like for myself, I had to learn that from the time that my addiction started until the time I quit it, I had to learn to grow up. All of those years that I wasn't dependent on a substance, to learn to see who this person really is. Yes. And these are the challenges that happen with people, because a lot of times a person has come up in these type of environments, and they're trying to discover something that they don't know nothing about who that person really is. Because you have been emulating and characters that you put on and ways in which you dealt with life that you haven't really understood who were you supposed to grow up to be. And that's where you talk about that in alone time and being in nature, is to get to know yourself. Because the elders always say, you are the one you've been waiting for. But you're looking for someone that you've never met. And that's the challenge with trying to discover, are these old behaviors or learned characters, or are these ways in which I'm really trying to cope with relationships. And then you get in relationships with people, especially when you get in relationships with women, older women that have had damages done to them. And then you're trying to see this person is damaged and where do they need fixing and how can we help fix? I can't fix you. I'm working on trying to fix me. And if we can just learn to be friends and see how we grow and talk about, we're only as sick as our secrets. And some of us have secrets that you'll take to the grave rather than let somebody see it. But they're going to see it anyway because it's going to come out.
Oh, that's so powerful. Kwame, hold that thought. That we got to go back to that after the break. That is something that we need to talk about because it's right in line with being in a relationship as an empath and having a vampire draining your energy for years and years. And that's the reality, that you don't even know who you are if you've been in that relationship. You got to get alone, meditate, get free of all your drug addiction. Realize, find out who are you really in that without this other vampire draining you of who you really are, because the vampires drain you. You don't even know who you really are. So, Naima, please go ahead and play our last commercial. We're going to come back to that point.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
All right, we're back, and thank you for joining us. We're talking about dating after 40. Is it more of a challenge when you're 40 and older or less or whatever? But we just heard from Dr. Christian Northrup, who I just love her wisdom and her experience, especially her experience as a doctor, physician. And she mentioned something so important about being in relationships that are unhealthy creates stress and cortisol activity. And that cortisol activity creates more cellular inflammation. And some of us don't think about that when we're in these relationships where we're trying to be loving and caring and helping the person because they need us, and we've got to help them, and it's okay. And it becomes cognitive dissonance, as she says. And the stress weakens the cells at some point because you're constantly looking for something, sweets or alcohol, to change the way you feel in this relationship, which is stressful on many levels because you're not being validated. You're not being appreciated. And I just want to bring in, I'll come back to you, Kwame. Dr. Boyce Watkins has an interesting take. I want to bring in this man who's an African-American, has a lot of knowledge, and he talks about how he decided to get into a relationship. And I thought it was a little different, but interesting. If you know who Dr. Boyce Watkins is, you might appreciate just hearing what his thoughts are.
He runs our South African office of the Black Business School. We have an office in South Africa, by the way, and we're going to be fully functional in about a month and a half or so. So if you live in South Africa, in Johannesburg in particular, we will have a Black Business School office in Johannesburg. But anyway, with that said, one of the things Nomalanga talks about is she says, I don't understand why African Americans don't realize that, as who says this, as Joe Ron is saying, marriage is a business. Family is a business. Most wealth comes from family. Anybody ever heard of, I don't know, the Rothschilds? Yeah, sure, they're a business, but they're a family, right? Anybody heard of the Rockefellers? That's a family, which is also a business. You follow me? Anybody? I don't know. Mr. Sean Carter, Jay-Z, and Beyonce. They're a family, but they're a business. So here's the deal. You know, the reason we did our, you know, when we did the film, The Black Love Blueprint, the reason I really wanted to strongly develop a film franchise, we're actually shooting films in L.A. and Atlanta. We got a lot of projects going on. I'll tell you guys more about it later. As I said, Black folks don't understand that the reason your wealth does not grow is because every generation you're starting over because you can't keep your relationships together, or you're picking the wrong relationships, or you're picking a woman because she got a big booty, or you're picking a man because he got swag and not thinking about what kind of economic swag he has, what kind of empire building swag he has, right? So ultimately, it's all connected. And so I will just tell you, ladies, you know, when you have ladies that are down to business that are like, look, don't waste my time. My clock is ticking. I'm 32 years old. I want to have a baby. Guys get mad about that. Guys like, oh, why don't you chill? Why don't you just let, no, don't let him waste your time, because there's an imbalance. There's a real life disproportion there that favors men, where men can fuck around until they're 70 and then start having kids when they're 70 years old. When I was in Ghana, I met a guy that had done that. He had like 20 kids after he was 60 years old. Women can't do the same thing in that way. Now, they won't talk about it, but it's true. Now, I know Cameron Diaz just had a baby at 47 years old, but most doctors don't recommend trying to do that, okay? So ultimately, when ladies are serious about not wasting their time, there's a reason, there's a logical reason for that. And so ultimately, so I will just tell you this. This is going to save you a lot of time. If you meet a man over the age of 35 who's never been married, there's usually a reason why. It doesn't mean it's a bad reason, though. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. It just means you got to figure out what the reason is. And once you figure out what the reason is, then you got to figure out if you have reason to believe that you're working around that. So, for example, I'll use myself as an example. Here we go. I didn't get married. I'm getting married in July 11th, 2020, in Chicago, South Chicago. Everybody's invited. I'm going to put up a link. Y'all can RSVP. You just got to RSVP. And here's the deal. You would have good reason to ask me, like, well, boys, you're 48 years old. Why are you getting married at 48 and not 28? Well, that's because when I was 28, I was working on my PhD, so I was studying 10 hours a day. No joke, 8 to 10 hours a day I was studying. I didn't want the distraction of a wife and kids at that time. Then years later, when I was leaving Syracuse University, I was starting my business. I did get close to getting married. I got engaged to a wonderful woman that I'll never speak ill about, who I actually proposed to her on the Wendy Williams show. I never talked about it, but it did happen back in 2007. And it just didn't work out for reasons that I won't talk about. And, but then even then, I still, felt like, well, maybe marriage is something for me, maybe not. But I said, maybe I want to get married in my 40s. I don't want to get married in my 30s. And here's the deal. And this is also advice for the men as well, for everybody. Don't let anybody pressure you into anything. Like, you live your fucking life. Like, seriously, live your damn life. You don't have people in your ear all the time telling you to change this and change that. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. There are no rules in terms of how you choose to live your life. So I made a conscious choice to say, when I get married, it's going to be a black woman. That was one fact. One thing I said. I said, if I ever get married, which I will at some point, I'm going to marry a black woman. Like, I don't believe that stuff about, like, oh, well, you can't control who you fall in love with. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I will never be in love with Becky. I won't allow it to happen. It was not going to occur, right? But then the second thing was, I felt that, my life was good. And I said, I'm not going to get married just to get married. I'm going to get married to somebody who I feel is going to make my life better. I married Alicia, or agreed to marry Alicia, or asked for her hand in marriage. How about that? Because I felt that me married to her would make my life better. So make your plan and be, real with yourself, but also be real in terms of what you're actually seeing. I see a lot of women that end up losing valuable time because there are men that aren't necessarily trying to harm you. They're not trying to use you up all the time. Some men are bad, right? We know this. There are bad men out there. But a lot of times it's because, you're 32, he's 35, he's got a little bit more, he's got more time than you, because he can flip around at 45, 50 years old and get married, and it might be a little bit tougher for you because the ecosystem is different for men than it is for women, right? This is the landscape. This is the game you're playing. I'm not here to lie to you. I'm not here to be politically correct. I'm here to be correct. I'm here to be correct, not politically correct. I don't care about being politically correct. All right. So
now, that's Dr. Boyce Watkins. He's a very intellectual black man. And his perspective and belief is so unique to me, because you don't hear that type of experience or belief or intellectual activity all with every man, right? So you're looking at sometimes a woman or a man who's been married. Let's say a woman's been married 7 times. Dr. Northrup gives this example of one of her patients, where their mother or someone had been married 7 times, and she was a typical vampire. those anybody who's been married, I would say more than three times, you better watch out. That's a red flag, because they haven't been able to master or stay in a healthy relationship. Is the problem? That's the challenge. And I don't think there's any good or bad situations. It's just situations for us to learn from. There's no good or bad man. There's men and women who've been in these relationships and they're vampires. And then there's others who are empaths and they've been wounded and hurt because they're trying to help. Empaths is, I think it was Susie said that empaths love helping people. That's who we are. We want to help people. And we have missed the flag that says you're in a relationship with somebody who's going to suck you dry if you don't get out of it. So that's what we're trying to help guide you. If you're a Dr. Boyce Watkins, you're not going to have a lot of problems with challenges with getting in a relationship. You got your set, you got organized, you're going to do this, that, you got all these plans. And then there's the empath. He's not an empath, obviously. He's just a strong-willed person who has organized his life, and he knows exactly what he wants. And he's married now to Alicia, and they have, you know, a relationship, business. I think you can have a business relationship in your marriage, or you can have a spiritual partnership. And a spiritual partnership is when both people are very conscious and very prayerful and very connected in an intimate relationship with Spirit Creator. And so whatever brings them together is usually because Spirit Creator Yahweh brought them together, and they recognize in that union, that relationship, that they have a divine purpose. And we have an assignment. Kwame Sunhorse, your mic is open. Are you familiar with Dr. Boyce Watkins?
Very much so. He's an excellent businessman. And, he's taken the time to learn himself to see what his purpose is and why he chose to wait before he's going to be a provider, protector, and one who professes, and that's a man's role. He had to become that before he would find himself in asking someone to merge with him in a union. You know, and you talk about the weak people and the vampire. You know, you have what's called codependent, and then you have counter-dependent persons. And that's kind of like saying that person, you know, she's got rocks in her head and they match the hole in his.
Oh, wow.
He's got rocks in her head and it matches the holes in his head.
Mm.
That codependent and counter, that's vampire and empath. That's
right.
What you're saying. And and in that part, in that person overstanding that, you know, he's got all these holes in his head and she fills them up because she's got rocks in her head. So that's an imbalance of how those two people, but how did they become that way?
Mm-hmm,
and these
mm-hmm.
are the things that we're discussing and being able to see how you repair the damages, like Gabor Monte always says, trauma and environment causes people to become what they've become in becoming addicted or becoming a slave to whatever it is that they've made themselves a slave to, because that's all addicted means is addictus, is to wage. You owe a debt to something, so you're in debt, and you're constantly trying to fill that debt to your needs, like you were saying about the doctor was saying, the cortisol. It's that we've learned how to not use our natural endocrine system and being able to release the hormones and endorphins and all the things that will make you feel a certain way. We've been able to ingest. We've been taught to ingest and make us and anesthetize and to not feel. And so that learning process of intimacy, into me see, first you have to know what's in you. You have to know how. I can't tell Viata I love you and don't know how to love Kwame. Who am I lying to?
Right.
Me. And so it's that part, and that the people not overstanding of what love is. Love is not the physical. And then when you talk about merging, he was talking about Africa. the merging of tribes, because when you come to another village, a woman from another village, you've got to come with a dowry, and you're marrying that man's family with her family, and y'all become one tribe and united. And these are the things that don't happen in society. It's all of this Barbie doll love affair,
right.
You know, the white picket fence and all of that. Or what they do now is a prenup. I'm going to keep mine, you keep yours, and whatever happens when we together, you know, we might be able to split it. But that's the way it is. You know, my grandson called me today. He's getting ready to get married in May. And he was asking, Grandpa, you know, I said, now you asked this young lady to marry you. You were down on one knee and you gave her a ring. You living with your buddy. She's living at home with her folks and y'all getting engaged. You got to give her a castle. You can't bring her home to be with your roommates. No, you've got to make the place where she will be the queen in that house and not serving a whole bunch of other kings.
Or in the case of two people having a spiritual partnership, both of them can agree that, hey, let's build our own tiny house. That's where my mind is always on minimalism now, because people with these big houses, they can't handle them. But if, like you say, he either needs to provide a castle for his queen, or the two of them agree that, you know, I don't want to live in a castle, but how about if we build a house together? Let's use our skills and build our own house. That's the partnership, the spiritual partnership that I promote, is that people come together and hear the voice of the cosmos, the creator, the numbers that were working in their lives, and say,
what?
Hey, you two build a house together.
And over the, on the, you mentioned the Overground Railroad. I met a couple that's up there in Maryland, and they're coming under the Overground Railroad, and they call it Out of the Way. And Out of the Way is that these are millennials that now you find a lot of millennials are converting vans and trucks and things into mobile homes.
Yeah.
And they're creating a way to where, okay, you make your van your home. So you have a place where instead of going to a mobile park place, you will go to an area that is owned by us, like over there in Alabama, where they're building tiny houses. They take 15 acres and they build in 10 A-frame houses. Just tiny, small houses where people are, they're going to be bed and breakfast. But they're also putting parking area where a person can come in and they're traveling in a van. You got a water hookup and power hookup. You can stay there in your van while you're traveling and going seeing whatever you want to go see. These are the ways in which we're doing it. And now I'm ordering the book that's called The Overground Railroad. It's a version of the green book that people have put together to know where locations you can go while traveling that is owned and placed by us. And you can go and see the sites and the different things that are in the areas that you're traveling, whatever state you're traveling in.
Yes, yes. And I just thought about how, you know, my Friday show, I mentioned Mary J. Blige, and I had an interesting discussion with Susie Mayberry Parker. And we went back and forth and we agreed that Mary J. Blige is a very unique individual. She's an entertainer. Her persona is one of worldly consumerism, worldly wealth. And I'm saying, don't try to look like Mary J. Blige or be like Mary J. Blige. Be your own self. If you don't try and live like Mary J. Blige, if you ain't making $1 million every week or every month. Don't try and be looking like her if you have a beautiful head of hair, or you have your purpose is
and
different. You need to build a tiny house, maybe live in like Kwame just described. Maybe you need to be in a mobile home. You don't need to try and live like Mary J. Blige. That was my point. She's doing what she's here to do, but you do what you're here to do, and that is to listen to spirit's voice about where your best interest is right now.
And that was my point when on that show we were talking about the hair and the part of women in India and these other third world countries are making sacrifices to altars and giving up, cutting off their hair as a sacrifice and offering. And you have people going there, gathering up their hair that they will put out for sacrifice and bagging it up and giving it to buyers and marketers that comes here and sell that hair for triple what it costs them, or probably a little of nothing, because they just went and took it up off the ground or the altar where it was at. And so you're looking at
that. Yeah, go ahead.
But I'm saying is that hair, and you're going to take it and weave it and put it onto your head, you're putting other folks' energies on your own antennas to confuse your receptivity even more.
And you're going to attract, that's the issue,
that's
too.
It.
You're going to attract a different type of love energy, not love energy, but a different type of confusion energy, because your energy beings and whatever we put on our being, we're going, and whatever is inside our heart, we're going to attract that. I want to play this meditation. There's been a lot of information tonight, and I want everybody to just take a moment, close your eyes, and do some breathing before we go. And tomorrow, don't forget, Zelda and will be doing some checkmate, love rate, how to love yourself. You want to continue this discussion tomorrow morning with Zelda, and I think Naima will be on the show as well, how to love yourself, because that's really what it's going to come down to, letting go of the energy vampires and realizing who you really are is about loving yourself. So let's just breathe for a minute to take in the truth of who you really are.
Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves, I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones, trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird.
So please keep up your breathing every day, in and out. That breath activates beautiful energy inside of you, into your in your kingdom. Activate your mind, your blood, your adrenal glands. All of that is activated by the breath. But just spend time in silence. Remember, the power of being alone has more benefits to it than even. So join Zelda tomorrow morning, Monday morning mindfulness. And we'll see you next week here for Soul Peeps. And I'll be on Friday morning for health and well-being. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/The Female Solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
Thank you.
To our family in China, xiexie.
Xiexie.
India, zanyaba.
Zanyaba.
Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, jeonkunyo. France, merci.
Spain.
Gracias. Italy. Grazie.
Grazie.
Egypt. Shukran.
Okay.
Ghana. Madasi. Nigeria. Eshe.
Okay.
South Africa. Nyabonga.
Nyabonga.
Senegal. Jared.
Jared.
Kenya. Asante.
Asante.
Israel. Toda.
Toda.
Pakistan. Shukriya.
Okay.
Afghanistan. Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Love you.
Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.